I think you were recording and you stopped to record.
No,
just in
I
case.
Have my personal recorder. That was
it. Oh, okay, sorry.
Let me start again. Thank you for being vigilant and recognizing. I've just shared the background of Dr. Amit and my connection with him, and I invite you to begin when you're ready.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ferry, for introducing me. And it's always been a pleasure, you know, to share a lot of things with you. I think for the last almost 7-8 years, we have been, you know, sharing a lot. And that is where I've started connecting, you know, with the universe whenever I, you know, share something with you. And that's something very fabulous. And I am really glad that there are a lot of people right now who are present over here from diverse communities. So thank you so much, all of you, for inviting me here. And this is my second session that I'm going to have. And, you know, what I'm excited about is, this is my second session and Terry wanted me to talk about my poetry. And that's something, you know, for me, even though I'm a leadership coach, that excites me a lot. That really makes me happy that I'm sharing something about my poetry. I would definitely like to, you know, talk about Terry a bit, and then I'm going to start with my poem. And that poem is going to be like the thin line between the introspection and contemplation. So before that, I would always say that, you know, I would always count one person on this earth, and that is nothing but Terry, with whom I can share a lot, with whom I can share whatever I feel, you know, through the channel of poetry. And through poetry, we have been together for last many years, and the way she motivates everyone, the way she inspires everyone, and the way she takes interests, you know, in different things, I really want to thank her for that, because there are rare human beings like her on this earth. So thank you so much, Terry, for that. And let me begin with my today's session, and that session is about a thin line between introspection and contemplation. Before I go ahead and start, you know, reading each stanza, and I'm going to explain that stanza, I really want to tell you a story behind this poem. And there are two reasons I, you know, penned down this poem, you know, and this poem was penned down in just 10 minutes of span. I didn't take much time, but then that had a background. So the first reason was my personal reason. When I was going through a very critical phase at one point of time in my life, and then I realized that to solve this problem, where am I getting stuck? So is it that thin line where I really want to work? And then when I'm talking about thin line, that thin line is nothing but, you know, that thin line is equivalent to, I would say, the difference between introspection and contemplation. That was one reason that I penned down this poem. Second reason was, I was, you know, having one coaching assignment, long-term coaching assignment in one of the companies, and that company was dealing with plant tissue culture activities. And then I had a coaching assignment for all deputy level managerial people, or even general managerial level people. And when I got to know their overall culture, which was existing over there, and when I even got to know that there were a lot of people who were working for 20, 25 years in that company, at the same time, the CEO wanted me to have a leadership coaching for all those, I would say, people who were having those traditional school of thoughts. And then what I could see over there when I was coaching them, that even next generation was getting recruited over in that company. And then they were facing a lot of problems. They were confronting a lot of problems. They had a tussle, you know, in between. And then while doing all these things, all of a sudden I realized that what is that which is missing is nothing but that thin line between the, you know, introspection and contemplation, where traditional school of thought and modern school of thought have to be given a deeper thought. So that was the second reason I penned down this poem. And the moment I realized that, yes, the introspection and the contemplation, both the aspects are equally important in anyone's life, I started thinking about it, and this poem was written, this poem was penned, and that is nothing but the thin line between introspection and contemplation. So let me get into this poem. The first stanza talks about being in nature to serve the mind, being with yourself, with self, so kind. Nothing is severely wrong than to remain blind, introspect or contemplate, a thin line to bind. Here, what I really want to say is, you know, I always differentiate when I'm talking about contemplation and introspection. The contemplation is nothing but you have a deeper thought, you are thinking over something thoroughly, but in introspection, I always say that you are thinking soulfully. So that is where I always say that if you really want to, you know, be natural with your own feelings, then be like nature. That is what my first line in this first stanza says that. Then yourself has to be so kind with your own self that, you know, that self is really helping you to grow yourself. So that is where I always say that if you want to keep your eyes open, then these two things are very important. Natural feeling and be with your own self with, you know, a kind feeling. And that is where that thin line to bind is nothing but, you know, introspect and contemplate. When I talk about the contemplation, I'm assuming here that the contemplation with respect to the external world. And we tend to think like this many times, but introspection is about inner world that matters a lot. So our inner world, and that inner world with soulfulness matters a lot. So in this first four lines of first stanza, this is what I've described. Then the next stanza comes is like being so crazy to fulfill the wish, being so optimistic to find the niche. Nothing is worse than to think gibberish, introspect or contemplate, a thin line so stylish. Here I have used a metaphoric word, stylish. Why? Just because, you know, our wish, when we are trying to fulfill our wishes, we should be so crazy and we should be so passionate, you know, to fulfill those wishes. And at the same time, how we should be optimistic? We should be optimistic to that level where, you know, somewhere down the line, we are trying to identify our niche. So while doing both the things, you know, if we are thinking, you know, if our thinking is gibberish, it will not give us right result. And the resultant factor can be turned out to be negative. So here I really want to say that if you are contemplating, you know, appropriately, but at the same time, if your introspection is also helping you with the same intensity, you know, that is like, you know, filling up that gap, you know, by working on that thin line, which is very stylish. So I'm just trying to use metaphoric words, stylish over here, just to, you know, enhance the beauty of introspection and contemplation. And I always, you know, think about two aspects, and which even I have given a thought over when I'm talking about this second stanza, and that is nothing but vision and perception. Your vision and perception have to be so, I would say, proficient, so, I would say, prosperous, that they will give you the right result. Here, I'm considering contemplation as a focus and introspection as an inner core to prosper. So these are the two aspects, focus and inner core to prosper. And if we are thinking like this, then a thin line like stylish will definitely enhance the beauty of introspective attitude and contemplative attitude. Now here, I really want to, you know, throw a light upon one thing, that whenever I have handled clients, let them be individual clients, let them be corporate clients, or let them be even educational institutes, wherever, you know, I go and, you know, talk with different sorts of people, what I've seen is their contemplative approach is good, but they never introspect, or they never take time to introspect. And that is where, you know, this second stanza matters a lot. Let me get on to the next third stanza, which talks about being so polite to follow rules. We all follow rules. Being so polite to follow rules, being so humble to write modules. So here, again, I have used a metaphor like writing a module. So why I'm saying writing a module is like, somewhere, are you really interested or are you that disciplined, you know, to even write a module? So that is where, you know, the expression comes like this. And then, nothing is inferior than to chat with fools. So here again, this is all imaginary, that, you know, nothing is inferior than to chat with fools, introspect or contemplate a thin line like molecules. Now, why I've used the word molecule? You know, whenever we are talking about subtleness, this word molecule, you know, plays an integral role, what I think. We are, because human existence is like a molecule. It's a very tiny thing, but that human existence has, you know, so deeper meaning. And that is where I use this word, that if that thin line is like a molecule, we can introspect and contemplate in much better manner. How? We all follow rules, and we are polite to follow rules, and we are humble to write modules. But then, what is important is, like, I have considered over here, like, contemplation happens daily. Contemplation may be happening daily, but for introspection, we need to have an intensity to make it happen. And we never do that. Because introspection is so deep, introspection is so soulful, I always say. But then why can't we take time to introspect? We are contemplating, but we are not introspecting. And that is where this third stanza has been pinned down like this, that, you know, there are rules, there we can write a lot of modules, but, you know, what we should be doing is, we should be so subtle while thinking, that our thinking should not be like fools. So that is where this third stanza, you know, means a lot. Now let me get on to the fourth stanza, and which is, again, another interesting stanza, and that talks about being so forward to go beyond the horizon. Being so forward to go beyond the horizon, being so willing to create a mansion. Nothing is stupid than to be in depression. Nothing is stupid than to be in depression, introspect or contemplate a thin line like compassion. Now here, the word compassion comes in the picture. So am I passionate? Right now, if I'm not passionate enough, you know, to produce my thoughts in front of you, you're going to say that, hey, Amit was absolutely, the way he was speaking, he was not having that energy, he was not having that enthusiasm to speak. So that passion has to be there. And if that compassion, that passion is there, then what we can do, even we can go beyond the horizon. Even we can create our own world. And when I'm talking about creating our own world, I'm using a metaphor as like, we are creating a mansion for us. And how? Let us be stress-free. Let us not be in depression at any moment of time. Let us not go in depression. And we all do that. I mean, like, many of you may have confronted depression. And many of you may not have. So if you are not, fantastic. If you have, then I would say that this fourth stanza means a lot for those, you know, who have gone in depression at some moment of time in life. So that is where I really want to say that our thinking should be so deeper that we are trying to go beyond the horizon. We are trying to be so innovative and creative. We are trying to be so passionate that we are trying to create our own mansion so that there will not be a state of depression ever, even though we are trying to face problems in life. And we all, you know, face problems in life. I always say that this word problem is a fantastic word. Because if you pronounce this word problem, probable aim, so this word itself gives you a fantastic insight. Probable aim, problem, probable aim. So it is giving you the solution also. So in a way, it is giving you solution. So that is why I always say that, you know, even though we are going to confront a lot of problems, let those problems be there, because those problems are really teaching us something. Those problems are really giving us a lot of insights to move forward in life, because we are considering those problems as an experiential trick. And that experiential trick is very important, because in Postanda I have said that our imagination should be so high that it is going beyond the horizon, and we are trying to create a mansion so that we can lead a stress-free life. So this is how the second stanza is being penned down. Here I always want to say that contemplation is like a heavenly film. You know, we are trying to think about something, you know, in a deeper manner. So contemplation is like a heavenly film if we are doing that for our future or even for our present problems that we are going through. But introspection is, you know, it works like an abundance. So it is an abundance. It is an abundant feeling that yes, I can introspect. And I think the whole world is going through the problem right now because they're not able to introspect properly. The contemplation is right. This is what again my perception says, that, you know, because of their intensity of not introspecting to the level that is expected, we all are facing problems. And the whole globe is facing the problem. So introspection is very important. I always say, you know, I wonder that how Earth must be, you know, talking to ourselves. What it must be, you know, telling. Okay, what kind of sufferings our Earth has right now? And how the Earth is responding to herself. And that's very important, because the kind of occurrences we have had so far, those occurrences are really, I would say, brutal. And that is where I always say that if you really want to have a fantastic life, just try to go beyond the horizon. If your imagination is going beyond the horizon, and if you're able to create your own world for your own betterment, with compassion again, with passion, then introspection and contemplation and the thin line between these two aspects, we will be able to fill that gap for sure. So let me get on to the next stanza, and that stanza talks about being in action to create history. So if I would ask all of you that you want to create history in your life, and what your answer will be, just try to give this answer to yourself. Okay, am I going to create a history in my life? And that is where, you know, introspection and contemplation, these aspects play an integral role. That at least based on my potential, based on what ability I have, am I using that ability to the best possible extent so that the history will be created? So the next line talks about being with conclusion to define trajectory. So are we deciding proper direction for ourselves? So I'm considering this trajectory is nothing but our growth path. So are we, you know, really defining that trajectory with an appropriate thinking or with an appropriate outlook? And the next line is, nothing is adverse than to crop up with mystery. Don't be so mysterious that the other person will, you know, start doubting you. What is happening with the other person? So be natural. Be cheerful, keep smiling, and that is where your mysterious attitude may get lost somewhere at one moment of time. Why are we so mysterious at some, you know, point of time? Why are we really taking, you know, tension of all those things that are happening in our life unnecessarily? When we know that, you know, tension, worry, or even, I would say, stress, all these three words matter a lot for all of us. The meaning of tension, the meaning of worry, the meaning of, you know, stress, they differ. But the direction is one and the same, that they are driving us towards something very meaningful. And if you are able to identify something meaningful, then that is really going to help you a lot. So that is where I'm saying, if you want to create a history, if you really want to, you know, get some direction for your own life, nothing is adverse than to crop up with mystery. Why? Because introspect or contemplate a thin line like poetry. Now, I have given a metaphor of poetry itself here. Why am I saying that poetry and that thin line like a poetry is nothing but, you know, when a poet writes a poem, the kind of engrossed attitude that poet has, the kind of experiential curiosity that poet has to write that poem based on his observation, let it be personal or let it be in the, you know, out of the external world, you know, this poetry works fabulously for someone to teach a lesson or to learn something out of that. And that is where I have used this metaphor, you know, while talking about a thin line between introspection and contemplation is nothing but poetry. So this is again a metaphoric word. So don't get onto that literal meaning of poetry, but I'm just trying to tell you the outer meaning of poetry, how you can, you know, perceive that, you know, for your own understanding when you're trying to understand, you know, perceive this poem throughout. So being in action, okay, being in action to create history, being with conclusion to define trajectory, nothing is adverse than to crop up with mystery, introspect or contemplate a thin line like poetry. Now here, I also want to throw a light upon two things. If I would ask you, are you living your life? Are you living your life? Are you living your life? The tones are different. But I'm trying to ask you with the same curiosity that are you living your life? And if the answer is a mixed feeling that I don't know whether I might really live my life, then my next question will be, if you are living your life or if you are not living your life, then how can you lead your life? So that is where this living life is nothing but contemplation and this leading life is like an introspection. I always say a leader has to have a capacity of introspection. And the one who is a manager can contemplate. But manager is not a leader at times. And that is where these two words with respect to live and lead, you know, matter a lot, you know, in this stanza, indirectly, I would say. So here, I am also emphasizing on one very important thing is contemplation is like a universe calling. And introspection is like an inner world calling. So it's a meditative state. So introspection should be like a meditative state for you. And if I really want to put in a different word, I would say that it is like a meditative technique for you. And contemplation is like, you know, you're trying to, you know, gather things, you're trying to, you know, sort of things, you're trying to be so, you know, sorted so that, you know, your compartmentalization of thought process is getting done properly. So in contemplation, that is getting done. But then at the end of the day, if I would ask you that the resultant factor is not getting, you know, to fruition, then that will be the reason because your introspection level, your introspective attitude is getting lax somewhere. So that is where I always say that universe calling is good, but your inner world calling is more precious than ever. So that is where in the fifth stanza, I'm emphasizing on universe calling and meditative technique or inner world calling. And again, to emphasize on two words, live and lead. So lead is contemplation and lead is like introspection. Now, let me get on to the last but not the least, and that is sixth para, which is very important. Being heavenly with grace to manifest. Being heavenly with grace to manifest. Being ready at every step to test. Nothing is so ordinary than to cut and paste. Cut and paste is very easy. And we all can do that. And now we are hovering around the AI world. So cut and paste has become very easy step. But what I'm trying to tell you is being heavenly with grace to manifest. What we are manifesting means a lot. If our manifestation is going in the right direction, it is like that manifestation in turn is testing us So that is where the second stanza, second line in the last stanza comes is, being ready at every step to test. So at every step, we are testing ourselves, or, you know, the universe is testing us, or the other community of people is testing us. And that is why we really want to be so well equipped with our thought process that we are trying to, you know, get passed through that test. So here I really want to again say that don't cut and paste, but your contemplation and, you know, the level of contemplation and introspection level has to be so good, or has to be so excellent, that you will not cut and paste, but the process will be very analytical, the process will be very thorough, the process will be in depth. And how? The last line talks about introspect or contemplate a thin line like an honest. So again, I always ask this question, you know, when I'm in front of the mirror, that am I being honest? Whatever I was doing, you know, during the day, did I really remain honest with myself? And if I'm not, there is something wrong. My integrity has to be so intact that my passion, my compassion, my everything, what I have written in the above, will really help me to introspect and contemplate so well that I am trying to, conclude with my storytelling of the day with a nice, you know, quote that yes, I'm successful, or whatever I did, you know, during the day, it was fantastic. It was positive. It was positively affirmative. So I'm just trying to put in a different word or with a different terminology. Absolutely. So being heavenly with grace to manifest, being ready at every step to test, nothing is so ordinary than to cut and paste, introspect or contemplate a thin line like an honest. So you should be very transparent. And the transparency, I always say that when we are using the communication process, if you are transparent enough to, you know, pass on the information with the same intensity that the other party is expecting, that is nothing but an effective networking. And if that is happening with an honest attitude, with something like full of integrity, then things would fall in place the way we are expecting. Here, I always emphasize on one factor. I really want to emphasize on one factor, and that is nothing but procrastination. If I would ask you that how many times you have done the procrastination, that if I'm asking you, hey, from tomorrow, I really want you to do yoga. Are you going to do that from tomorrow? If I would ask you that from tomorrow, you are going to, you know, do the exercise by waking up at 4 o'clock. Will you do that? And many times we have an answer, right now I have a busy schedule and I'm just trying to postpone it by, you know, 2 months. And those 2 months never come in our lives, because we are trying to procrastinate that somewhere down the line. So this is how, I'm trying to put introspection and contemplation. I really want to give you one example over here. That there was one project manager, you know, from one of the multinational companies, and I was having a coaching assignment with that project manager, and I asked him that, you know, I'm here for you, you know, as a coach, and I'm going to be there as a coach for you, as a guide, as a friend, as a philosopher for you for next a few days. So will you be ready, you know, to develop or establish leadership? And that is what I have been assigned by your company, and I'm going to do that. He said, you know, I know that technically I'm so well, but I'm not prepared for, you know, learning leadership to the intensity that you are expecting. And then I thought that why this man is saying that at a level where he was, and the company really wanted him to be in a position of a CTO or a COO in next couple of years, but that man was not ready to accept that there is something like leadership which has to be established. He was continuously emphasizing on one fact that, you know, hey, I'm ready for anything that you want to ask, you want me to do as a technical expert, but I'm not ready to establish leadership. Then I was like wondering that at a project manager level, why this chap is saying that I really don't want to establish leadership at this point of time. And Let me tell you, he left the company in next 2 weeks. And then I got to know, I realized that what must be the reason. And then I could, you know, identify somewhere that there may be something like contemplation, the thin line between the contemplation and introspection, where he really should have worked on that. He did not. Again, the perception matters a lot. I always say that perception is very important. And that is where, this is how, you know, I have penned down this poem after, you know, going through two very important aspects which I described in the beginning, and based on which I wrote the poem. I penned down the poem in just 10 minutes of span. So just to conclude, I would say a few things where contemplation and introspection should go hand in hand. You cannot separate them out. And that's very important in my poem that I've tried to explain that. It should become a habit for all of us. You know, when we are talking about contemplation and introspection, that we should always think about that thin line in every situation, wherever we are. And we should make, you know, the contemplation or the state of contemplation and introspection to a level where those aspects will be sustainable for a longer term. And last but not the least, audio visual is always fascinating, but our inner world is more fascinating than ever. So just believe in that. Our belief system should start working on contemplation and introspection. So thank you so much, all of you. Yes.
Please, may I interrupt, because I don't usually do this. However, I request to be able to take a picture of the screen for Amit.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a problem with that? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Please continue.
Yeah. So that is where I really wanted to tell you that, you know, I am using contemplation and introspection every day. Even though I'm a coach, I always say that at the end of the day, when I'm at home, I'm a human being, and let me be a human being. And that's very important, because otherwise I won't be able to introspect what is happening in my life. I won't be able to even contemplate to the level where it is expected to introspect. So again, it's a game of words. But only thing is, you have to be very playful, cheerful, and you have to be very passionate with these words when you're playing with these words and trying to figure out at the end of the day how we are living and leading our life. And that's the most precious thing that I really want to put in front of you, that please live your life to the fullest, and please try to lead your life, because leading your life will definitely give you a very broadening horizon in front of you. So thank you so much once again. Thank you, Terry, for giving me this precious opportunity to explain about the thin line between contemplation and introspection. I really enjoyed it myself. So thank you so much, and I hope all the people also must have enjoyed this session. And Terry, thank you so much. You have been so wonderful so far. So thanks a lot.
Well, you're so welcome. You have shared the depths and essence of who you are. And that's being very vulnerable. You know, not too many people can do that with a bunch of strangers. Not really. I think we share some kind of level of vibration, all of us, or we wouldn't be here now. But still, in some sense, we are strangers on one plane. And we do pay attention to that plane when we decide what we want to choose. You have made a decision, from my point of view, correct, to share this depth of important perspectives and your life. I know you live that way, and that's why I find this man fascinating. I'm going to open it up to the whole group now. What have you, what new things have occurred to you? What ideas have come? Let's share.
Amit, thank you so much. It was, wow. It's two words that it's so hard for me to pronounce them, but I promise to you, I will remember it for sure. So, and I love the deeper that the philosophy that you took us through your poem. It's amazing. What a creative way to do it. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much, yes.
I never contemplated the distinction between managers and leaders. Yeah. When yes, I was yes, a so manager, true. I was dealing with contemplation. And if at some level I am a leader, sometimes I definitely go beyond into the imagination.
So true. I mean, Terry, I really want to tell you that I have started, you know, coaching about leadership in different organizations with one word, and that is very important, selflessness. If we are selfless from within, the leadership will come out absolutely fantastically, in a fantastic manner. It will come in the limelight like anything. We have to be selfless. I mean, I'll just give you an example. I always, you know, with some kind of, you know, cracking of joke, I always say that, you know, just don't think about your account, how much is getting credited to your account. So the money anyway is going to get credited every month. But irrespective of that, how selfless you are as a leader to address and to produce your thoughts to the best extent so that the whole community of people you are leading will be so happy to work with you.
You know, I have
to
say...
That's very important. Trying to be very realistic with all.
There are some people on this call who've known me long enough to have watched and heard and maybe even felt my transformation over the decades from manager to leader. And when I'm stressed, I go back to manager. When I'm open and selfless, I am more of a leader. So this was very, very, that's just one little piece, very useful for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So does anybody have anything to share or even ask questions?
I think they're contemplating. And it's going to take, yes. It's going to take them into introspection.
Florida. I just wanted to share that in Spanish, the line between contemplation and inspiration is not so different because it has a similar meaning. Well, one of the acceptions of contemplation, for example, Santa Teresa or ecstatic meditation, it's called contemplation too. So I just wanted to add that. And I'm curious about the etymology. And you know, contemplation comes from temple, church, which is also spiritual or, I don't know. I just wanted to add that to that. Contribute. No conclusion, yes, to share that with you.
Thank you so much, man. Yes, absolutely. It was helpful. Definitely. But I really want to, you know, express about what you said. When you're talking about, you know, contemplation comes from temple or church, you're right, absolutely. And I don't differ with this. But the introspective state is such a state where are we realizing that we are temple and church within itself?
Yes.
And that's yes. Where your introspection starts. Your inner world starts, you know, giving you or channelizing you like anything. And your filtration process starts. And then you start getting to know that, hey, this is where I want to go. This is what my path is.
Yeah.
And that is where I think at one point of time, the contemplation will stop and your introspection will really start giving you it will start transcending you. So again, this is an experiential trip because I always say that, you know, when I'm talking about spirituality, I really don't want to talk about spirituality, but I'm scared of speaking about it. Because when I'm saying that take everything in the right spirit, people say that, oh yes, we are going to take everything in the right spirit. But if I'm using the word spirituality, then they're scared. So I really don't want to use this word spirituality because spiritual experience or spiritual world is pertaining to that person who is trying to experience that, and which cannot be described in words. It's a completely different world altogether. When I'm closing my eyes, am I really looking at someone? Am I really looking at the world? No, I'm just looking at myself. And that's something I always say, that this is the state of introspection. This is a state of meditation somewhere.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Sorry, can I ask a question on that, Lourdes? You triggered something in me.
Yeah, please.
So prayer is asking Source from the results of contemplation. I pray that this and that happens. Introspection is listening inside. I'm correct.
Yes.
Okay, wow.
Absolutely. All right. I'll just show you. I really want to show you in just one moment. Ego works like, you know, it's completely... if I really want to show my attitude right now, I can show that attitude. Okay? I have an ego. So I'm showing that. Hey, Terry, what is happening? I don't like this. I don't appreciate this. Okay? But I think introspection works like, I always say in Indian, I would say theory, spiritual theory, it's soham. So it's like, it's within. It's within. It transforming you, and it is taking you towards transcending stage from within. So it's breathing technique that we always call it as, where the sound, the origination of sound is Omkar. And if you would just listen to this Omkar once, you'll get to know that what is the sound of Soham. So I'm just trying to get inside. I'm just trying to, experience that sound from within. And this origination of sound is nothing but Omkar. That is what is being said in Indian theory. I'm just, you know, putting in front of you. So that is how introspection works. Where your complete focus, your complete target is nothing but your inner core. And that is where, you know, you will start thinking in deeper. You will start talking about everything soulful. And then naturally things would start coming out, you know, which you're not expecting, but they're even not fascinating. We can term them as ecstatic. It's not even happiness. It's beyond happiness. It's a neutral stage where you are just trying to sense what is happening around. But everything, your inner core is getting focused more than the outer world. So that is why listening to your inner voice matters a lot. So coming back to what you said. So listening to your inner voice, it's very important.
Claudia, do you want to speak or?
thank you very much. Your poem was very profound. It has many levels to it. I was particularly drawn by the concept that in every human being, there's like a little niche, that special way that we connect to God, to the source. And I really like the mystics. I like Santa Teresa. And the way that she portrays it, it's like different mansions. And in the first mansion, it's just acknowledging that you have a soul. And then as you keep on going, you get to know other places. And to me, I still believe it, at least inside of me, that if I am in introspection, somehow it's like I can still hear the narratives of the ego, you know, some narrative of the past or projection of the future. But then when you move to contemplation, in there is silence. And there is where, like, I believe you connect with the beloved.
Thank you so much, man. Fantastic.
I just wanted to say thank you. It was really interesting and profound. And as coaches, we all work in our inner work, I guess, and in a different way. And I wanted to share something just came to my mind, and it was about an experiment that has been done long time ago. It was about leaving the people alone or getting a small shock, a small electroshock. So most of the people prefer to not be with their own thoughts and get the electroshock. So that was completely shocking to me to hear. So that means, I guess, there's a lot of work to do. And I think our profession is leading that way. And the more we work with ourselves, the more we can stay with the clients. So that's what I believe. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It was a nice sharing. I mean, like the way you said, there is a lot to work. And I always say that, you know, introspective state always takes us, you know, towards that platform that, hey, still it tends to infinity. So hold on. And that's where, you know, it's like that wow moment. If we are, you know, we are really considering that as a wow moment, that will really take us towards the next step. And if we are saying that, hey, enough, I cannot do now, I cannot move forward, then life is good. And that is the way you said, there is a lot to work. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks to you. And I love that, you know, the vibrational thing you did before with the home.
It was, yes.
You know, I think there's a lot of silence because you brought this silence here, and it's really useful and interesting. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Namaste. So much. So Terry, are there any questions from others?
Is there anyone who thinks they might have a question if we stay open? Because I can do something, I feel like a goddess saying, I can give you 5 minutes more today than you ever thought you have. And we can say, we feel complete. What will you do with that 5 minutes? Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Amit, for presenting and sharing yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
This recording will be on.
It was wonderful to have all of you here. And thank you so much for being very patient. Thank you. Thank you so much.